Coach Betty Live is about living an organic and orgasmic life. What does that mean? This show is your source for approaches to natural healing of you and the planet you live on. You'll hear amazing stories of healing from experts, innovators, and artists sharing their path to consciousness and health. This show appeals to people who have optimistic views of our future and want to have an impact on making the world a better place. Discover a roadmap of options to create conscious and healthy relationships that sustain us and help us care for each other and the planet. Coach Betty will present a complete scope of options and perspectives, from ancient wisdoms to new and emerging scientific data and information. Come and imagine the experience of living an organic and orgasmic life. Now, here's your host, Coach Betty.
Everybody, it is Coach Betty live from Novato, California, and I've got my fabulous audio producer Chris on the East Coast, so we've got you covered coast to coast and all around the world on the internet besides. I'm a life coach for individuals, partnerships, groups, and organizations, and life coaches are dreamers, and we are dreaming up the best world we know how. And that's where the phrase living an organic and orgasmic life came from. So what I'm talking about that, what I mean when I say that is simply making the most of every moment. So breaking it down a little more, organic is about going with the flow as well as eating organic veggies and fruits. And orgasmic, and this is the one that people can get tripped up on. I'm not talking about having sex 24 hours a day. I'm talking about making everything juicy in your life, eating a peach, even brushing your teeth. So see what you can do about that. I believe that we really need to create the vision of a more positive world. And so I'm going for the gusto here by talking about an organic and orgasmic life. You want to learn more about how to do that? Stay tuned to Coach Betty Live on Transformation Talk Radio. Every Tuesday at noon, that's what we're going to be doing here. And if you're ready to actually do it, I am dying to hear from you, and email me at coachbetty@coachbettylive.com. I have a couple of visionaries on my show today, too. First up, we're going to be talking to Cecile Andrews, who's an educator and an author of three books, Circle of Simplicity, Slowing Down, and Less is More. So you can start to get an idea of what her vision is about. And in the second half hour, I'm going to be talking with Betsy Thompson, who is also an author, and she wrote a book called Walking Through Illusion. And what I know is that we can create transformation when we eliminate the illusion. But let's get right at my first guest. Welcome to Coach Betty Live, Cecile.
Yes, hi.
It's so fun to have Cecile here. Let me give you a little bio on her. She is a former community college administrator, and now she is a community educator and founder of Sustainable Greenwood Finney. She's the author of the books I just mentioned. She is a doctorate in education, teaches workshops, writes a monthly column, and is on the board of the Seattle Gross National Happiness Initiative. So first off, just because what is, a lot of us don't know, what is Sustainable Greenwood Finney?
Well, Greenwood Finney is actually my neighborhood. And what we have in Seattle is we have all of our neighborhoods are organized to try to become more sustainable and trying to do it at the neighborhood level, because we've discovered that sustainability, which of course is about saving both people and the planet, has to do with being local. You know, buying local, eating local, living local. And so we try to get to know our neighbors, we try to garden with our neighbors, we try to come together to celebrate with our neighbors. We have a neighborhood center, we do a lot of small discussion groups. because we feel that, you know, the way things, the way we're going to make a difference is by coming together to make this a better place. Yes, you can do things on your own, but the chief source of happiness and health comes from social ties, and that's been neglected in this culture. And so we want to get people to save the planet, and we want to encourage them to drive less and to, you know, eat better and to use less energy in their homes. But we found that the best way to do it is to focus on making them happier people, and then they naturally don't want as many possessions or stuff, because they are happier in ways that truly make them happy. So it's very exciting, and this is actually happening around the country in something called transition towns. So I encourage listeners to take a look at that. And it's how do we go from a transition in a culture that uses too much oil to one that is not dependent on oil. And again, it has to do with becoming local. So this is a really big movement, this neighborhood, local neighborhood movement, and it's about supporting small businesses and going to farmers markets and, you know, just essentially learning to really enjoy where you're living. So
yes.
Basically.
I love it. I love it. And you have a phrase that you use. I had the pleasure of seeing Cecile speak at the San Francisco Green Festival recently, and you talked about the correlation between happiness and sustainability for the planet. And that, and I just think that is such a beautiful way to approach sustainability. It's like, let's become happier people, and we will actually have a more sustainable planet. And so you talk about that in terms of living more simply and slower and smaller.
Yes, yes, those three things. It's you know, people get confused about simplicity. They think, oh, I mean, my favorite thing that people say to me, what's that self-deprivation movement you're involved in? And so I'm constantly trying to say, no, we're talking about enjoying your life more and living simply. It does involve spending less money, but it means being aware of what you're spending, and so that what you actually get, you actually enjoy, and you're not going into debt. Some of us who have tried to spend less have actually been able to work less at paid jobs and do the kind of work we really love. But we've also found that some people can try to live simply, but at the same time, they're just running around frantic. They're rushing all the time. They're working long hours. And we're also saying you have to slow down, because you don't enjoy yourself if you're rushing, because you're not aware of anything. Everything is just going by in a blur. And in particular, the thing that really makes people happy with social ties, you can't hurry those. You can't, you know, too many people say, hi, how are you? And they say, oh, I'm so busy. And you feel like saying, oh, all right, then I won't take any more of your time. I'll move right along. And then when we talk about slower, and it's not just moving slower, it's being more leisurely and enjoying things. And then we talk about smaller. It's taking small steps. It's cutting down the size of your possessions, the size of where you live, and in particular, doing more in small groups. There's one piece of research that shows that if you are not in a group right now and you join one this year, you would be cutting your chances of dying in half this next year because you got involved in a small group. Now, that sounds incredible, but, you know, maybe you don't have a big chance of dying, but the point is, that kind of intimacy, that kind of closeness with other people, you know, coming together, and it's helpful when you come together because you want to make a change in something, because you have the sense of shared purpose and shared values, and it's tremendously helpful. So we do a lot with simplicity circles, which kind of brings all those three together. You're in a small group, you're trying to simplify, and you're taking the time to have really in-depth conversations with people, which is really the most exciting thing there is. So, yeah, we talk about simpler, slower, and smaller.
Yeah, well, we're going to need to go to a break pretty soon here, but one of the things that I wrote down from your talk in at the Green Festival was that social isolation is as bad as smoking.
I know. Isn't that incredible?
It's just that was just stunning.
It's stunning, and it's stunning to us in this country because we don't realize it. We don't understand. We've been so individualistic and so competitive and so materialistic that we do not understand the importance of these social ties. And so we can't even recognize it. And the other example I like to give is that a lot of people are very depressed, and in fact depression has spiked. But often it's loneliness, but people can't recognize it because we don't even see that as an issue. So, you know, the more we can let people know about this, the healthier and happier people will be.
Yeah, you gave some stunning statistics when I heard you speak from the Gallup polls about where the United States is 69th in sadness, 74th in anger, and 145th in stress. So explain exactly what those stats mean.
Well, they've done, this is out of 151 nations around the world. And a lot of times we can say, oh, yes, we're very satisfied with our lives because we think, oh, we're Americans. We must be satisfied. We're the best people on earth. But then when you actually look at our daily lives, they find that we're very high in sadness and anger and anxiety, and that we are 145th, as you said, in stressfulness. And stress is the thing that undermines people's health. It undermines people's happiness. And very few, this is out of 151 countries, so very few countries are more stressful than we are. Probably ones that are having a war going on or having a famine, or Haiti where, you know, people are getting cholera. And so people don't, we've been number one in the world for so long that we cannot recognize what's happened. And we are now 49th in terms of longevity. In the 50s, we were number one. And somehow to get to people that just because we're Americans doesn't mean we're number one anymore. We have to make changes.
Well, I am so glad that you're out there speaking about this, and I just love your passion. And so when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking to Cecile about how to get started on the path of simplicity, because she has some really wonderful ideas for us. So stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
Coach Betty Live is about living an organic and orgasmic life. What does that mean? This show is your source for approaches to natural healing of you and the planet you live on. You'll hear amazing stories of healing from experts, innovators, and artists sharing their path to consciousness and health. This show appeals to people who have optimistic views of our future and want to have an impact on making the world a better place. Discover a roadmap of options to create conscious and healthy relationships that sustain us and help us care for each other and the planet. Coach Betty will present a complete scope of options and perspectives from ancient wisdoms to new and emerging scientific data and information. Come and imagine the experience of living an organic and orgasmic life.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. available online at reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shoppe, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit reservage.com and feel vitality today.
Do you feel energetically bankrupt? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know CRA anticipates a problem and solves it before it occurs and often prevents a disaster waiting to happen? With CRA, we have predictable results before the onset of illness. CRA is an energy assessment of the body's electrical circuits, evaluating the emotional, structural, and nutritional needs of the body. By reinforcing the body with specific nutrition to promote peak performance, CRA detects the results of what the body has been taking in causing ill health and gives insight into removing the obstacle to healing and nourishes the body back to health. CRA balances you emotionally, nutritionally, and structurally for you to be the best you can be and gives you a glimpse of a world where aging appears to be slowed indefinitely. With CRA, I will design a program for your specific needs. Call us at 888-777-4222. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
It is Coach Betty live back with Cecile Andrews, the author of three separate books, Circle of Simplicity, Slowing Down, and Less is More. So we were talking to Cecile. She is an ambassador for voluntary simplicity, and she's been on this path for, wow, your book Circle of Simplicity was written in 1997. So I imagine from all of your meetings, you have come up with lots of good ideas for people to get started on this path. So would you share some of those with our listeners?
Well, the first thing is, because I think of simplicity, you think, okay, I'm going to start cutting back so that I can have more life. That's kind of essentially. And then so your first question is, well, cutting back on what? So what simplicity really is the examined life of asking yourself what's important, what matters. And it's choosing consciously how you want to live instead of just going along with the commercials or what your parents expected or your schools expected. So the very first thing we have to do in living simply is to stop and think and ask ourselves, you know, what is important to us? So you have to build reflection into your lives. I always like to think of it as, well, what gives me energy and what drains my energy? And, you know, I always worked hard in school, and I loved school, and then I went and got my doctorate at Stanford, and I was community college administrator and thought, oh, well, I should be a community college president someday. But I realized the higher I went in college administration, the duller I had to be, that you had to act a certain way. Well, what's held out in our country is that the higher you can go, the more status you have, the happier it will be. But that's not true at all. The status is what undermines that energy. So you really have to be clear, one, about your career goals, not just doing it because it's something that will give you status and money. It has to be something that's really exciting to you. And at the same time, you have to have things that you do. For instance, I love to read mystery books. I always read mysteries. You have to be clear about having things that make you happier. I love to walk. I love to hang out with my friends. But those are things I had to figure out by stopping and thinking. Now, some people might call it meditation, but you have it. But have a time during your day where you stop and at least notice how you're feeling about things and ask yourself what you really want. Then what really works the very best is to be able to do this with other people. If you have a couple of friends that you can say, let's get together periodically and talk about what we really want out of life. You don't have to call it simplicity because that can scare people. Some people do like it. They think, oh, yeah, I want to have more simplicity. Some people then start trying to get rid of stuff in their house. In fact, a lot of people think that that's basically what simplicity is going through your house and getting rid of clutter. Well, that's practically impossible to do on your own. You have to have somebody to talk about it with, to motivate you, maybe to do it with you and say to you, you know, if you haven't worn that shirt for 2 years, you're not going to wear it. You know, it goes.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so, so true. I absolutely 100% agree with what you're saying. I even have a personal story to back up this whole thing about being really clear about your career goals and what's important. My brother was in management in the grocery store business because my father was in management and he thought that was important. And after my father passed away, he said, you know what? I'm miserable. And he went and he was like working with the truckers in the back unloading bread. And he was happier than he's ever been in his life. So it's so true that being at the top is sometimes what will drain your energy more than anything else.
Yeah. And in order to do that, if you start spending less and you ask yourself, you know, do I really need this? Do I really want this? Because once you, that's the reason both my husband and I, my husband was a reporter for the Seattle Times for many years, and he wanted to write some of his own things, because we decided that we were always going to try to live below our income and to save money. That allowed us to do that. Now, it allowed us to not go into debt. A lot of people are in debt, and still you see big houses, you see people buying all this stuff. And so our message is, this is not going to make you happy. And even if you were rich, being rich doesn't make you happy. That's Americans have grown up with the idea that if they're rich, they'll be happy. And after a certain point, this is not an argument for being poor. Everybody needs to know they have enough. But almost nobody feels they have enough. That after a certain point, more money and more stuff does not correlate and with happiness. And the other thing is that there are too many people out there suffering. And so I always think to myself, do I want to buy this new shirt, or could I give some of that money to the poor? And that, is it worth it for me to have this shirt to know that when I pass that person by on the street, I will feel like I can't even give them a dollar? So there's a social justice to all of this, and a sense of that we need to have a culture, to create a culture in which we care about each other, that it's not profit is on top, but people and the planet. Yes, you can make profit, but it can't come at the expense of people and the planet, because none of us will survive.
Right.
If the planet keeps, you know, with global warming, climate change keeps up, you know, we're not going to survive. And the nice thing about this also is it gives you a chance to feel you're acting on your values, that you are making a difference. And I think people really want to feel they're making a difference and acting on their values. And they can do that right away by changing how they spend their money and how they treat people and what their goals are. So it's very exciting, and there's lots on the Internet on ideas how to save money, just a whole bunch of ideas. And it makes you feel more creative. Instead of just buying something, you find a creative way to handle something. So it's really very, very exciting, and not self-deprivation.
Yes. Let's get those words out of this whole discussion. And you made me think about a very interesting question, which is, what is enough? I mean, when do we have enough, personally? How would you answer that?
Well, to me, enough is that I would feel secure, and it isn't a whole bunch of money that makes you feel secure, because what people usually do is buy a bigger house, and they just go into more debt. So for us, it meant, you know, saving our money, paying our house off, and then we created two apartments in our house and live in a smaller space, so that we know that we're going to be secure. And it's not because we have a job that we could lose easily. It's not that we have invested in lots of stocks, which we could lose easily. But so enough for me, and it's also enough time. That's the other way to judge. If you're running around all the time, you don't have enough, because you have to say it's not just enough money, it's also enough time. And that's really, for me, it's like, you know, somebody said, someday everybody thinks that someday they'll start living. Well, no, you can't just say, okay, someday I'll start living. It's now. And half of that means putting your time into things other, money and work and profit and getting ahead, that there are too many other things that we're letting go. And almost all of it comes back to social ties, being true to yourself, developing your own talents. I'm sure it's all the things you always say in your program.
Well, you came up with a couple of really fun ideas at the Green Festival about crossing things off your to-do list even when you haven't done them. And also, this was the one I loved, where you call a meeting or you arrange for a dinner party and then cancel it. And people just love you for it.
Right, because you're giving people some extra time. And so we fell upon this. I said, oh, good, whenever you can do, cancel something.
Yeah, that is so fun. Well, oh, my goodness, we're already almost out of time, but I would love for you to briefly talk about the Gross National Happiness Campaign and your involvement in that.
Yeah, this comes from Bhutan, the little country that decided instead of gross domestic product, which basically measures an amount of money that is going through your system, that they were going to measure things in gross national happiness. In other words, ask people, you know, how are your level of social ties? Do you feel connected to the earth? Do you feel you have enough time for your family and for your friends? And so to survey people, and then when they do policies, ask, how will this affect? For instance, we're one of the few industrialized countries that doesn't have a good family leave. That when a couple has a baby, just even in Canada, a woman gets half time off for her full salary that's paid by the government. And we need more time, so policies, and that's one of the policies. Healthcare is a policy that if there's anything that'll make us all feel secure is knowing that we have healthcare. And so all of these kinds of things go into gross national happiness, and not just the GDP. Having an accident makes a GDP go up. That's not what we want to do, to just measure money, because it could be bad things as well as good. So what we're trying to do is have Seattle become the first gross national happiness city in the country, and we're working with our city council, and that means it's really another way of getting people to think about all these issues. Because it's you can't totally just measure happiness. But it gets people to say, you know, what really does make me happy? What really? And it's not just thinking about money as we have come to do in this culture.
Yes. And thank you so much for being an ambassador for happiness and that connection to sustainability. So if people want to learn more about your books and order them, what's the best way for them to do that, Cecile?
Well, my publisher for the last two is New Society Publishers, and you can get them in any bookstore and hopefully in an independent, private, local bookstore. And I do have a website, CecileAndrews.com, and if people have questions, they can email me, Cecile@CecileAndrews.com. So it's very exciting, and you can do a search on Cecile Andrews and lots of other stuff there. So I thank you for having me on.
And thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you. And thanks for this work you're doing. Keep it up.
Okay, thanks. Alrighty, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back with Coach Betty Live.
Coach Betty Live is about living an organic and orgasmic life. What does that mean? This show is your source for approaches to natural healing of you and the planet you live on. You'll hear amazing stories of healing from experts, innovators, and artists sharing their path to consciousness and health. This show appeals to people who have optimistic views of our future and want to have an impact on making the world a better place. Discover a roadmap of options to create conscious and healthy relationships that sustain us and help us care for each other and the planet. Coach Betty will present a complete scope of options and perspectives, from ancient wisdoms to new and emerging scientific data and information. Come and imagine the experience of living an organic and orgasmic life.
All right. It's Coach Betty Live with Betsy Thompson, who is the author of 6 books. Her most recent book, Walking Through Illusion, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So welcome to Coach Betty Live, Betsy.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy you're here too. She's a media person herself in her former life before she became a full-time author. She was into radio, television, and you know what? You were an executive assistant at Warner Brothers. So that's sort of an interesting background that you have. But this new authoring that you're doing now with this book, Walking Through Illusion, is just such a fascinating idea and story. So why don't you start out by just telling the listeners what this book is all about?
Okay, the book is a series of interconnected stories, and it's about biblical people who either knew Jesus or knew of him, and they were influenced by him in one way or another. But it's not about a book about Christianity. It's about people who lived long before Christianity began. It's much more of an emotional accounting than a historical accounting, suggesting, you know, how these individuals might have felt about Jesus, how he might have felt about them, and what they might have learned from each other. So it's really not it's not a history book at all.
And so when you talk about walking through illusion, what I said at the top of the show about illusion was, I know that if we can eliminate our illusions, that's when we can really begin to transform ourselves.
Yeah. So well, the book when it talks about illusion, it talks about it being refers to the idea that we come here in our bodies to experience matter, or that which is temporary, to recognize what is real, or that which is felt. So everything that we see, hear, taste, smell, or touch is illusion, and reality is everything we feel about what we hear, smell, taste, touch, or see.
Oh, okay.
Anything that could be here today and gone tomorrow is part of the illusion.
Aha.
So something to be real, it has to be real to you whether you're in body or out of body.
Ah, well, that's really fascinating. I got to explore this a little bit more with you. When you first said it, it was like everything that's on the outside of us is our illusions.
Yeah, and everything that's here today and gone tomorrow.
Okay, so that's on the outside. Here today, gone tomorrow, right, outside right. of you, that's all illusion.
And or even you could include the body in that, because the body could be here today and gone tomorrow. But the feelings inside of you are forever. So that is what is the reality of your life.
Ooh, that is so fascinating. I mean, one of my philosophies is, I always say, back to me, it always comes back to us, personally, to help transform the world. It's not about doing things on the outside, but it's about doing things on the inside first, and then it leads to the outside.
Right, exactly. Change happens from within, and then you example the change to others.
Yeah, boy, we need to hear that so many times, don't we, before we really start to live it.
Right, because we get blinded by the picture. We get blinded by thinking the picture is where it's happening, and it's not really where it's happening at all. You create from within, not from without. So you create first within, and then the picture reflects back to you what you're doing and who you are. And in other words, the people you meet are reflecting to you where you are in your life. It's the last book I wrote is about the mirror theory, which is that everyone we meet is an emotional mirror of ourselves. And when we like what we see, when we like that mirror, we think of life as great. When we hate that mirror, we try to find someone to blame.
But
it's all about, you know, we have this wonderful gift of every person we encountering being a mirror of us. And when we see it as a gift instead of a curse, life starts to turn around.
Oh, I would say life starts to become organic. that's my word, where you don't resist anything that comes towards you. And I like your addition of not only you don't resist it, but you let it reflect who you are
right.
and learn from it.
Be honest about it so that you can grow from whatever it is.
Right.
That which you acknowledge is yours to change. But if you don't acknowledge something, you can't do anything about making anything different.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. I'm with you. You're speaking my language, Betsy.
Okay.
So, you know, this is not a religious book, or is
no,
it?
No, it's not a religious book at all. It's not about Christianity. It's about the growth that these people experience being exactly like the growth that we go through, because emotional challenges really don't change through the ages. That's pretty much the same. So it's just to bring this time into the time of now, in terms of everyone is trying to grow and everybody is doing it their own way, and everyone has the challenge that they want, the challenge or the challenges that they feel are best for them. So it's like we can't look at other people and say, well, they're really screwed up, they don't know what they're doing, because we don't know what they're here to do. So they're here with their challenges. We're here with our challenges. We only have to focus on our challenge. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here, is on this planet at this time. And so, like, what inspired the formatting of this book, where you are asking questions and you get responses from? I mean, well, just for an example, it's like you talk about Peter, you talk about all these people that have been in the Bible, are in the Bible, including Jesus, and you sort of ask questions of how they might have interpreted these ideas. Help me out.
What happened was, when I knew I had this gift, which I had when I was very young and ignored for many years, when I finally acknowledged that I did have this gift and that I was going to use it, I asked myself the question, well, what is it that you're curious about, Betsy? What is it you want to know? And my answer was that I was very curious about Jesus. I wanted to know whether what I had heard from other people was true about him, and or whether that, you know, I wanted to see what answers I got. And so that's how the whole thing started. I mean, me just asking questions about what was going on in those days, and then it turned into this book. So it was just because of my curiosity, which is, I think, why everybody, I think it's why we go from day to day, because we're curious about what tomorrow is. But that's what it's, that's how it all began. And then it turned into, and then there are other features in the book that has, at the end of each chapter, there are questions to ask the reader after they've completed the chapter. And it asks them questions about their own life, and the purpose of that is to bring the ideas from the chapter into the reader's life in a meaningful way. And then after each chapter where I share how the message in that chapter impacted my own life.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit about the questions when we come back from the break. And Betsy has very beautifully offered to have one of her books, Walking Through Illusion, as a giveaway. So the first listener to call in to 1-800-930-2819 will receive a copy of her book. One more time, that number is 1-800-930-2819, and we'll be right back with Betsy and more about Walking Through Illusion.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Isn't it time that you powerfully aligned with your soul's purpose and activated your divine gifts and talents so that you can thrive in the new paradigm? Tune into Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. You've been divinely guided here because something deep within your diamond light longs to be activated so that you can joyously evolve through your ascension journey. After 20,000 soul purpose and healing sessions, Jennifer now joyfully shares with you her profound wisdom and experience in the Akashic Records, multidimensional healing, and all that is relevant to your creation story as a unique spark of divine light love. Join us each Tuesday at 1 Pacific and 4 Eastern Time for Soul Purpose Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path.
Do you feel energetically bankrupt? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know CRA anticipates a problem and solves it before it occurs and often prevents a disaster waiting to happen? With CRA, we have predictable results before the onset of illness. CRA is an energy assessment of the body's electrical circuits, evaluating the emotional, structural, and nutritional needs of the body. By reinforcing the body with specific nutrition to promote peak performance, CRA detects the results of what the body has been taking in causing ill health and gives insight into removing the obstacle to healing and nourishes the body back to health. CRA balances you emotionally, nutritionally, and structurally for you to be the best you can be and gives you a glimpse of a world where aging appears to be slowed indefinitely. With CRA, I will design a program for your specific needs. Call us at 888-777-4222. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Okay, it's Coach Betty Live back with Betsy Thompson, author of Walking Through Illusion. And I'm happy to announce that Nadine Champlin of Ashaway, Rhode Island has been the caller to win the book, Walking Through Illusion. So Nadine, you can get ready to receive that sometime soon. It's your Thanksgiving present. Yeah. All right. Well, Betsy, why don't you let us know a little bit about what we're going to get when we read this book, Walking okay. Through Illusion.
Well, my hope is that the reader will recognize more of the beauty within himself or herself. That's really the more understanding of why they feel as they do, because this book is like, is the purpose of it is to empower the person to know that they are in charge of what their life is all about. So if they don't like what it is, they can change it by acknowledging their mirror in front of them, and then if they don't like it, they know what it is that they need to change in themselves. And I hope they will have more compassion for their frailties and the frailties of others, and more optimism regarding their ability to create a loving future. I believe the power within, I wanted to empower people to know that they are the ones that can change their life and make it better.
More
knowledge of this idea of the mirror theory and how we face our emotional reflection in others. That's really key to... this idea has been talked about in many terms, like the law of attraction, cause and effect, action reaction, but it's always the pulling of energy back to itself, which means that whatever energy you're pulling out into the universe, you are pulling back to yourself. So if you don't like what you're pulling back to yourself, you only need to change what you're putting out there.
I'm right with you 100%. And one of the things that I have my clients do as a life coach is look in the mirror every day and say, I love you. I really, really do. To start to pull out some of that inner magnificence is the word I like to use.
Right.
Well, there is a very fun game you have at the end of chapter one in this book, Walking Through Illusion. And I just found it so much fun. You ask four different questions to play a game. And
to also tap into what my previous guest, Cecile Andrews, said, this would be a great game to play in community, in a small community of people. The first question is, how many useless goals can you think up? And then the question that goes with that is, how often did you laugh while making that list? The third question, list as many meaningful goals as you can imagine. And the final question is, how often did you cry while making that list? That is really special. How did you come up with this game?
It just came to me. I can't tell you that because I don't know how the whole book came to be, except that it came out of me somehow through spirit. I mean, and every step of the way it's been guided, and the ideas come to me, and then I just do them. I mean, the gift is mysterious to me in a way, and I have to compare it to the idea of how, if you ask the painter how they got the vision of their painting, because if you had 20 painters painting the same scene, every picture is going to be that individual's interpretation of that picture. And if you ask them where the vision came from, they wouldn't be able to tell you. If you ask a musician where they get the music, they wouldn't be able to tell you. It's like they should just hear it, and this is what happened to me. I don't think it's any different than that's what's happening to them. In fact,
yeah.
I heard Bob Dylan interviewed on television a couple of years ago, and the interviewer is asking him about his early music and how it was inspired. And he just looked at the interviewer and said, I have no idea. He said, I have no idea. It just came out of me for a certain period of time.
So it just comes through you. It's like it's coming from your intuition, where your head is completely out of it.
Yes. Yes. And in fact, I could talk about how, if you really want me to go into it, how this gift began and the struggle I had with it. Would you like me to go into that, or?
Well, let me just say one more thing about your book, and then, you know, we'll see if we have time to go there today. We might have to get you back on the show, Betsy, because you're
just speaking
my truth here, too.
Okay. But
one of your little phrases, it looks like a quote or something that maybe you came up with at the beginning of the chapter on approval, is it says, if you want to become a teacher, you must live the lessons you preach.
Right.
So that's really about walking your talk, isn't it?
Right. It also means that, you know, words coming out of your mouth are noises. They are simply noises. They don't mean anything, which is why children don't believe what they hear. They believe what they feel. Their parents tell them to do something. It's just a lot of noise. But if the parents are doing it, that's what the children follow. But it's the same idea that you cannot... you have to live what you preach if you want people to believe what you're saying.
Right.
pretty clear, you know.
Words are pretty cheap, as that old saying goes, and actions really speak much louder than words.
So
let me ask you this. This is one of my very favorite questions to ask guests on my show, and that is, what is your vision of a healthy, loving world?
Acceptance.
Acceptance.
I mean, imagine what this world would be if everyone is very accepting of each other.
So accepting of each other, accepting of ourselves.
Yeah. Just remembering that every person has a reason for being here, and we don't know what it is. And so we can't judge what they're doing as wrong or right, because we have no idea what the purpose of their lifetime is. But they know, and and you don't have to worry that the wrong person is going to find you, because you find your mirror. So you just need to live from your integrity and to attract people with integrity back to you. And you don't need to spend a lot of energy worrying about the rest of the world.
So it's really about back to me.
Yes, it's always back to me.
And so back to you for a minute about how that you began to write. I mean, you had this very illustrious career, it looks like, in the media. So how did your gift of writing begin?
It began when I was five. I mean, the gift came when I was five. My grandmother, my mother was madly in love with her grandmother. She was very close to her, and she died a few days before I was born. So when I came along, and I evidently looked exactly like my great-grandmother. And so my mother was always telling me how much I looked like her, and since she loved this woman so much, I thought it was a definite asset that I looked a lot like her. And at five, I thought, well, I would talk to her at night, and I never told anybody I was going to do this, so nobody told me I couldn't. So I started talking to my great-grandmother, and I thought this was really terrific, and I thought everybody did it, because if I could do it, well, everybody could do it. So I went to my sister, who was a couple years older than I was, and I told her what I was doing, and I asked her who she spoke to. And that was my first indication of how the rest of the world was going to look at my gift, because she really freaked out. And then she teased me unmercifully for weeks about it. And the upshot of that was that I was so traumatized and fearful of how other people would react, you know, like her, that I stopped doing it. And so that was the end of that for years and years and years. And I didn't acknowledge it until many years later, when my life was in a turmoil
And so the writing, how did the writing start?
Well, when I was nine or so, Ouija boards came out. I don't know how old you are, but Ouija boards came out as a hot new board game, and my family got one, and we were all, my sisters and I were all, you know, hot to play this game, and we were at the age where haunted houses were intriguing to us, and so this sounded like a, you know, a fantastic thing. So we sat down, and of course it was excruciatingly slow for three active children, and before I knew it, I was the only person sitting on the floor with this board waiting for answers. And so then I thought, oh my God, this is something I got, you know, isn't this something that I got in trouble with before? So I stopped doing it as well. But then years later, I was telling my son about this out in California, and we had a big laugh over the idea that, you know, these kids were playing with a Ouija board. But as a joke, he got me a Ouija board for my birthday a couple of weeks later. And that's how it sort of began. Now, I don't use the Ouija board anymore, but that's how I got started. But there's a great lesson for me in using the Ouija board, because there was so much judgment around it. And but, you know, a gift can be
used. So a Ouija board, that is stunning, Betsy. You know what? I'm going to have to stop you. Oh, my gosh, the time just went so fast. But I want you to, before we end, tell people how they can get a hold of you and learn about your books.
Okay, well, they can get the book on Amazon or at Borders or at Barnes & Noble, and they can get me at my website, which is BetsyThompson.com. In fact, they can order the book from my website, because I have the address for all that right there. And
Thank you so much for coming on, Betsy, and I know you've got so much more to say, and we're going to have to get you back.
Okay.
Thank
you for having me.
Take care. All right, that's all for this week, folks. I hope you enjoyed these women and their perspectives. I am so happy to have this opportunity to share these wonderful people and perspectives with you. So next week we're going to be in France, and my guy is cutting me off, but stay tuned. I got some great guests for you next week, so have a warm and wonderful Thanksgiving. Coach Betty Live signing off for today.
Our future and want to have an impact on making the world a better place. Tune in each Tuesday at 12 Pacific Time, 3 Eastern, for more of Coach Betty Live. For more information or to listen to archives of the show, visit CoachBettyLive.com.
Seaside Rosé.